Our gospel for this Sunday in Lent comes to us from the third chapter of the gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, this lesson will sound very familiar. It's probably about as familiar a lesson as like the Christmas story, but it's only a section of it. Jesus, as a visitor by night, a leader of the Pharisees, comes to him with questions. And Jesus is having a conversation with him, and it becomes apparently clear that this leader is not entirely sure of what's all happening because it doesn't fit what he expected or the way in which he was taught. And Jesus continues with calling upon the first lesson as an illustration to Nicodemus. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And that this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that they may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. A couple friends of mine were posting, and they serve churches, you know, in other states that still follow clock changes and stuff like that. They posted reminders saying, hey, remember to move your clock forward, otherwise the opening hymn tomorrow morning will be How Late Thou Art. You know, some people say that they hate daylight savings time because they lose sleep over it. Now, and also, just to be fair, I mean, remember, the first lesson was about the Israelites as they're out in the wilderness and wandering. Well, it seems that that was a common routine. Archaeologists have discovered an even earlier people that just never seemed to be able to find a place where they would stop. They were called the Neanderthals. So easy, even a caveman can do it. Oh, well. That joke brought to you by some unnamed auto insurance company. Isn't it amazing? We have this group of people and their exploits and their experiences cover more than three books of the law, the Israelites, and how they are going from point A to point B, from Egypt to the promised land, and how they're like children. Are we there yet? Why are we going? Is it going to be okay there? I don't know. Is there going to be anything for us to do? I'm waiting for Moses to go, don't make me pull over. But it's so normal. It is so normal for so many of us. At one point in our lives or throughout our entire lives to do this. I mean, think of that lesson. We've got, they're being escorted out from slavery in Egypt, where they were having to kill their own children to keep their population down. They were forced to work harder and harder and harder, deprived of all kinds of basic things. And they're now free of all of that. And now they're beyond that experience and they're looking back with nostalgia. Oh, it was better there. Remember back then? You know, the good old days. And right now, I mean, let's face it. Come on, God, really? Did you hear that in the lesson? There's no food, there's no water, and we hate this detestable food. Wait a minute, the food that's detestable that there is none of? Again, children. And they complain. Oh, it was so much better. Now, again, let's remind you. They were in slavery, forced to work, killing their own kids. They are being fed with manna and quail. There is water that is given to them. By night, there's a pillar of fire that means that their encampment is not dark. And if someone walks off into the wilderness to get something or do something, they know where to go. They won't get lost. By day, there's a pillar of smoke, so that means there's shade. What in the world are they complaining about? But how much of it is the fact that the devil you know, or the devil you thought you knew, often brings a lot of comfort because it's known? Change is hard, isn't it, folks? Change is very hard, even when you are getting away from something awful. There's a reason why, that's one of the primary reasons why so many people in abusive situations, children or spouses, find it so difficult to get out. Because at least it's known. You might know where the triggers are that you might avoid. You might be able to figure out that there's something better you can do, because then you make it about yourself. If only I was a better person, if I was only a better child, if I was only a better spouse, of course, none of this would be happening. If only I can go back and rewrite the history. How often do we get caught in that thinking on so many things? What if I could just go back? All right, folks. You can't. The past is, well, as they say, past. You didn't know then what you know now. What you know now is what is allowing you to be now different than you were then. Why is it that, you know, oftentimes in Scripture you have this thing about being of good courage? Because you need courage to face the unknown. You need courage to actually believe there's something going on that is better. And we need faith to trust that God is with us even now in the midst. Now notice the symbol and what happens. The snakes come. And people start dying. And they cry out again. This time, okay, we goofed. By the way, that's a recurring theme in Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. It just seems to be one constant. We're complaining, and then we get caught in our complaint, and now we're complaining about our complaint. And Moses is given the staff. Those who look on it will live. Please note that the remedy was not the removal of the snakes. The snakes are still there. But now they have to learn the fact of what do you do with the snakes? You look at that and live. That even in the midst of death, there is life. But what all must die when you go through that process? Maybe a little bit of the self-centeredness. Maybe a little bit of the, you know, I'm kind of tired of manna casserole. know. And that quail is getting a little gamey. Can we find a mustard bush, please? Or something. You know, I would really prefer a Dom Perignon 67 with my quail and manna. But how often do we also then, while at the same time looking backwards and go, you know, it wasn't that bad, do we measure ourselves and go, eh, that's not what we want, and then just complain about that, as opposed to continue to go forward, to look ahead, to look out. Nicodemus comes to Jesus and cannot understand what Jesus is about because Jesus doesn't fit the what was. And Jesus uses the image of this snake on the pole in the story from Numbers to remind Nicodemus the issue is not what was, it's what becomes. The Lord, who keeps talking to the people throughout all of Scriptures about a new thing, about a future with hope, about have faith and trust in what becomes, shows us most powerfully the fact that God is going to be with us through all of these transitions and that God is making this all possible. And just to put an exclamation point on it, the glory of the Lord is going to be hung on a tree. Not a bronze serpent. But the image of God, the Son of God, the Word made flesh that dwells amongst us, is going to go up on that pole. But not stay there. We're called to the cross, to let go of what was. But through the cross, we see that all things truly are possible with God, a God who can conquer even death, a God who will be with us no matter what. A God who loved the whole world so much that God would dare to do this just so we see. To not bring condemnation and death, but to bring life, new life, as another gift. The snakes are still around, folks. Literally and figuratively. There are still those things that will try to kill us. There are still those things that cause us to die inside. There are still those things in this world and in this life that want us to just suck up, take it, and not believe that there is new life and a future with hope. And Jesus goes, mm-mm. I so love the world. God so loved the world. This world is of value. You are of value. They are of value. There is death. Yes. There are still those serpents. And then there's new life. Then there's tomorrow. And I'm in the beginning, the middle, and the end. To walk with you, to lead you, to guide you, yes, and even to lift you up again. because I love you. And remember that God does indeed love you, and so do I. Amen.